I don't want to spend until July getting all these promises laid out for you. So I want you to get ready for me at the risk of delaying some Easter remarks. I want you to get ready to go a little further on these promises. Behind me are written down the first 22. Now, as they sing, you can run these cameras up and down the board, and you that didn't listen the night we went over these promises, I'm going to go right on to 23 and 24. We're way over into the 40s, and our artist needs a list that he can work from so he can print them up, and we'll have them on display around here. These are the promises. Already in that list, they shall possess the gates of their enemies. Everything that we're teaching fails to communicate unless you understand why we're doing it. We are giving you a chance to experience what the book of Romans declares. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As you see God's faithfulness, there grows within you the ability to take God in the promises that apply to you and make them yours. Now, we've listed some 40 promises, but not everybody got them straight. So I started writing them down. Now, we stated at the outset it's ludicrous to think we're going to find God falling short. But this set out to be a daring to list them and ask ourselves, where have they been fulfilled? In the confidence that as we see God verify His word, our own faith will be strengthened. That's the only reason we're doing it. And when God so precisely dots every I, crosses every T of His word in matters that reach into the lives of people that do not deserve that faithfulness, how much more can we count on God backing His word based in the covenant of His Son? And we've written down 22 of them. The last one is in the book of Jeremiah, 22nd one, chapter 1, verse 10. Jeremiah is made the trustee of the promises given through Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, and Judah, the two nations, Israel and Judah, God sets Jeremiah over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down. Now that's easy to prove. He sure did that. Just about every evangelical scholar agrees with that. Not too many of them even ask themselves the question, where did he do this that they agree with? The rooting out, the pulling down, the destroying, and the throw down. Where did he do that with Israel? It's obvious to see him do it with Judah. But God gave him this responsibility over both nations. Furthermore, there is no attempt in most of evangelical church scholarship, and that's the stream I'm a part of, and I've looked for it and can't find it, to deal with the promise that Jeremiah is also to build and to plant. That means the promises about David's kingdom, the promises to the kingdom of Israel, the promise to the kingdom of Judah, the promises to Joseph through Ephraim and Manasseh. Where? Now, you know what page we're on? 817. Anybody lost? Number 22, Jeremiah 1, verse 10. It's already on the board. Jeremiah is made the trustee of the promises to Abram through these nations, Jacob, Joseph, Judah, Ephraim, Manasseh, David. And where did he build? And where did he plant? That's a question we're entitled to ask. Go to the third chapter. Let me read the context and we'll have number 23. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? God's talking to Jeremiah, his trustee now. She's gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness. Now the King James uses lightness. Verse 9, Jeremiah 3. If anybody's lost, hold your hand up. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom. Now in the King James, lightness takes on the meaning of being of small import. But let me give you another meaning of the word, which it had then. There's a lot of lightness in here, you know. This is a well-lighted place. And lightness, building off of that, had the meaning of fame. And that's what the original word means. But in the King James, they put lightness in. Some of you will have it in the margin, fame. How many got it in the margin? Lightness sort of ruins it with the modern meaning because it suggests that the sin they were committing was of no import. It came to pass through the fame of her whoredom that she defiled the Lamb, through the well-knownness, through the much display of it, through the well-lighted shining of it. She defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but literally faked it, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go. This is the 23rd one. Write it down. Number 23. Jeremiah 3, verse 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Now, if you want, you can run the 23rd promise all the way down through the 14th verse. But I have written in my Bible, the 14th verse is 23a. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. This is not a promise to the Jews. He is saying to Jeremiah, go and proclaim these words toward the north. In the context where he said the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah, go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord, hast scattered thy ways to the strangers, and ye have not obeyed my voice. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. The 12th verse is number 23. The 14th verse is 23a, just a subhead of the same one. The 15th verse is number 24. I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's Israel. Israel's in bondage. They've been carried into Assyria. Now, where is your record? Where is the record that Jeremiah went and proclaimed these words to those 10 tribes that have been carried away? Anybody find it anywhere? This is not to the Jews. Yet if Jeremiah didn't do that before he died, he's disobedient. I will take you one of a city, two of a family, and bring you to Zion. That's Israel, not the Jews. Where have they been doing that? Judah, going back to Israel, doesn't fulfill that. Where have the Jews had this? I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. They're still in the dark about the heart of God. You don't come any closer to his heart than the revelation of his Son, and they know nothing about it. 16. Verse 16. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Put a bracket on the 16th and 17th verses. That's number 25. And in those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. That's verse 18, first part of it. Put a camera on the Voice of Faith. How many of you have in the margin where the King James has with the house of Israel, in the margin, the alternative, to? In those days the house of Judah shall walk with or to the house of Israel. And they shall come together out of the land of the north, to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. Now there's two promises in that verse. The house of Judah shall walk to or with, and I'm telling you now, I lean toward the alternative to, and I'll explain why when we come to this specific promise at length later on. The house of Judah shall walk to or with? Now, number one, the house of Judah doesn't believe the 10 tribes have been found, and if they have, they don't know where they are. So there's no way they're walking with them. And if the translation that I believe is to be preferred, it says they shall walk to the house of Israel. Where did that happen? Number six is that first half of that verse. In those days the house of Judah shall walk to the house of Israel. Number 27 is the rest of the verse. They shall come together out of the land of the north. Now wait a minute. Let's just analyze that for a minute. The Jews and Israel are to come together from out of the land of the north. Where'd the 10 tribes go? North and east. To Assyria. Where'd they go when Esdras says they took off? Back north and west. And if the 10 tribes were the Scythians, the Sumerians, the Celts that settled northern and western Europe, then the Jews are ultimately, if this promise is to be fulfilled, are going to end up in the same place. And wherever those 10 tribes are, that's to where Judah will go, and then together they'll come back from the same place. Is that what it's saying? Huh? Is that what it's saying? Well, now we know, since the north is used in Promise 23, and the north is used in Promises 26 and 27, and it's the exact same context, every rule of biblical exegesis I know says it's the same north. You understand that? So wherever the Jews are to walk to, and then from there with the Israelites come back, is the same place where Jeremiah is to go and proclaim. You follow that? That means that for Jeremiah to deliver this message, you must go to the place where the 10 tribes are, and he must not only go where they are to proclaim that message. In the last days, the Jews will go to the same place, and from that same place, both the Jews and the house of Israel will come back. It's the same north. There are three things happening in the north. One, Jeremiah is to go there and proclaim this message. Two, Judah is to go there. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk to the house of Israel. You say, well, I'm not convinced it should be to instead of with yet. Well, okay, I'll wait on that till I get to it. But it's obvious they got to get there because they're going to come together from there. And you don't go from someplace unless you got there. You follow that? Now, where has Jeremiah gone to the tribes, 10 tribes, in a place to the north, where in last day fulfillment, the Jews would also end up going to the house of Israel, and then together they'd go back to Zion? Now let's talk fact. Which particular nation in the world did the Zionist movement have to go to, and the current nation Israel have to go to, in its embryonic, formative personality stage, where the persons that worked the opening of that land as a homeland to the Jews, which nation did they have to get that job done? Great Britain. I mean, just one of those strange accidents of history, that France ends up with Transjordan, and Britain ends up with a Palestine mandate. I mean, it could have been shuffled a different way. But just, you know, one of those, God lucked out. And Palestine comes under Britain. And it's Great Britain's offspring, the United States with Great Britain, that makes possible the formation by their power, by the way, of the new state Israel. Now, if the Jews have returned to their homeland, which they also open to anyone who claims their national heritage, and they've expanded the word Jew to include a lot of people that biblically were not Jews, if that is God's return to Zion, then we know which country they had to go to, and which country was responsible for opening the land. Now, is it just a possibility? Because when Jeremiah is getting this prophecy, the Scythians are already moving across Europe. And at the time he gets this prophecy, they are approaching the borders of northwest seacoast areas. Is it just possible that the reason Jeremiah's picture, emblem, cameo, is on the forecourts at Dublin, and his grave is testified to in Ireland, because he just might have delivered this message there? Just might have. And exacted some rather strong terms from Ahriman, that descendant of Zara through the Miletians, if he was a descendant of Zara through the Miletians. And turned Tara, the site of the High Kings, formerly a heathen shrine, Tara, the place of the High Kings of Ireland, into the home of Mur Alam, the school of the prophets. Did a cleansing, corrective work, the impact of which was felt in Ireland through Scotland into England to the present day. Then he did some tearing down, and some pulling down, and some plucking, and some planting, and some building. And the place would be identified, to which Judah had to walk to, from which the spark of the flow back would come. Just maybe. What if that happened? Now I go to page 835. I can't stay on that all night. You know, I'm going to teach on each of these promises later. I just want you to get them written down now, but they sort of intrigue me, and I get bogged down, and each one of them I could preach a message on. It frustrates me. Have you got number 27? I thought some people didn't have it. Listen close. Jeremiah 3:12 was number 23. Jeremiah 3:14 is 23a. Jeremiah 3:15 is 24. 3, verses 16 and 17 is 25. Jeremiah 3:18, the first half of it. In those days the house of Judah shall walk to the house of Israel, is number 26. The rest of that verse is number 27. Chapter 15 of Jeremiah, though he's given this charge from God to be the trustee, he gets upset in the 15th chapter. Woe is me, he says, and my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I could preach on this again, too. God picks a man as his trustee of all of his promises. 15th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 10. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I can't go past it. I tried, but I can't. I got a letter once in a newspaper here in Glendale where somebody was telling me I ought to act like a cleric should act. I wish he'd read the Bible. Here is God's choice of all these promises. You understand that? All of these promises up to the 22nd one, God lays the trusteeship on Jeremiah to channel the path by which God's word will be found faithful in the whole earth. And what kind of man was he? A man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I mean, he aggravated the whole dang world. Joe, somebody gave me a collar as an alabaster box. Will you bring it tomorrow night? It's better than paper. Woe is me! Woe is my mother that born me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I understand First Assembly of God in North Hollywood is looking for a pastor. I nominate Jeremiah. I mean, the surest way to clean up and straighten out some churches is to give them a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. Then they got it, God's man. He'll kick the holy something into them and the hell out of them. But I'll make you a bet, Jeremiah couldn't get elected pastor of any church in America. I'm not even sure he could get ordained. Do you think the Baptists would ordain him, Ken? No way. I know the Assembly of God wouldn't. I want you to think about it a minute. Do you understand what this verse is saying? Huh? A man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. God help me, just leave this alone. Go on. Okay. And the Lord said, well, you brought it on yourself, you. If you sweeten your spirit a little and smile more and turn the other cheek and say, bless the Lord. might help you out. If you just change your image, Jeremiah, the Lord would be with thee. I can't find anything in that. I can't find anything between the 10th and 11th verse that conditions what the Lord says. Can you? Does the Lord tell him to change? The man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth, God said, the Lord said, verily, it shall be well with thy remnant. Not only is it going to be well for him, but a remnant with him is going to be taken care of. That's promise number 28. First half of the 11th verse, Jeremiah 15:11, the Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Well, that means no matter how bad it gets, it's going to be well for Jeremiah. That's why you don't find a martyr's grave for Jeremiah. He's not going to be torn asunder. He's not going to be burned at a stake. Now that is a miracle if you think about it. Just, you believe God's word or not? That the prophet of God, the only one that I know of that has this reputation, a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth, dies a natural death. I mean, in the world in which he lived, a man of contention to the whole earth is just an accident looking for a happening. He is a prime candidate for martyrdom. I mean, unless he's king of the whole earth, how long do you think a man of contention to the whole earth is going to last in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, forsaken and beat down Judah, attacked by that miserable Ishmael, rescued by some of Nebuchadnezzar's assigned men, disliked and argued with by the people he prophesies over, yet taken with them to Egypt. Everybody in Egypt is destroyed except Jeremiah and his remnant. If this little thing is accurate, can hardly wait to get in it. Keep having interruptions of budget and Easter and all other kinds of things. And this marvelous anthology of verse on a moonless night and the cloudy we shipped and we passed away. In the veils of the Lord from Egypt, the breath of his mouth was our stay. 3 weeks in our sails to westward, thus favor was in the eyes of the men of the ship upon us, and I talked with our pilot wise. Bukai, the son of Helek, whose marvelous words were truth, he had gathered in many waters, an old man now from his youth, who in barks of Dan and Javan had raised up sails as a boy, for the sons of some that Ulick, son of Leart, brought back from Troy. I heard of the painted talking birds in gardens with fruits of gold, and fish islands spouting fountains, and one terrible tale he told, of a giant that dwelt amongst trees and descending, rended in twain, 3 Melids that sought him with target and spear, but in fight were slain. In his hairy hands were they twisted, yea, as a stalk that is bent on the myrtle ere it be gathered, so were they broken and rent. Thus we came to the Kirjath Hatho, and moored at the long fair wharf, whence Ham and his camels athirst seek the tree-built homes of the dwarf. And beheld the Bosra above it, yet set not our feet therein, for Canaan, Phut, and Lubbum be wholly bound unto sin. And Bukai spoke of their princes, and how when a Shophet died, his wives were brought to his burning, his slaves to be crucified, of Ashtaroth and Tanith, queen harlots of cruel name, whom the Phoni brought from the east ere into their land they came, and of Baal, whom Yahweh hateth. He dwelleth amongst you still, ye sons of Aaron. I know ye. I know that your hands work ill. Root up the groves from among you. Cast down his seats on the tors. His fires are destroyers of gladness. His feasting my soul abhors. Hear ye, that which he spake, the prophet of God, which he stood betwixt Baruch and Bukai and stretched on that land his rod. Baal shall be broken, he said, yet he shall rise as the sun. Red and gold is his rising, swiftly his course he shall run. Under the isles of the west, under the... Well, I'd like to finish this. If I could just get to this. Everybody else gets killed down in Egypt. He makes a trip. Man of contention of the whole earth. See, even when he gets there, he's stirring up trouble. Wherever he goes. The Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Now, that promise has to be carried out. That's number 28. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. That's number 29. The 11th verse, 15th chapter. The first half of it, it shall be well with thy remnant. That's number 28. I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. That's number 29. Got it? Verse 14 is number 30. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies. This is God responding to that man who is a source of strife through the whole earth. I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not. That's number 30, 14th verse. You got them?